This is Audible.
Blackstone Audio presents Eternal Frontier by Anthony J. Melchiori. This book is read by Bradford Hastings. Chapter 1. Purple and green waves of plasma coursed around the hull of the SRES Argo as it exited hyperspace. A long, metallic groan resonated through the ship. Planets loomed into existence out of the darkness of space, and a fiery star greeted the crew, welcoming them to a new solar system. Lieutenant Commander Tag Brewer had joined this exploratory mission with the Solar Republic of Earth's Navy precisely to witness such a sight. He had spent long nights dreaming of traveling among the stars. The allure of discovering the undiscovered, exploring the wild abandon of the universe, stepping foot on a land that had never borne witness to the human race, and the potential of contacting new life on distant planets evoked a heart-thumping excitement in Tag that could be rivaled by no other experience. And he was missing it. As the chief medical officer, he bore the responsibility of carrying the ship's biomedical science mission forward. The urge to fulfill his duty called to him at every waking hour. Now was no exception. Tag sat at a lab bench in the medical bay and used two fingers to gesture on a hollow screen. His movements manipulated a remote-controlled microscope behind the protective barrier cordoning off the laboratory. The remote-controlled scope allowed him to monitor his ongoing experiments in real time while reducing the risk of contaminating the cells and tissues growing inside the refrigerator-sized incubators in the next room. So instead of studying the gleaming stars outside the Argo, he was stuck looking at the microscale world contained in tiny plastic dishes. He wondered if he would have a chance to study any living cells from the planet they were set to visit. Studying new life, that would make these long hours in the lab worth it. That would make his entire career worth it. Tag pushed aside those distracting thoughts and willed himself to focus on the scope's view. Various numbers marched across the hollow screen to report the current temperature and humidity within the incubators. Another scrolling set of numbers reported the minute voltage fluctuations taking place in a dish full of neural tissue. Tag couldn't help but grin at the sight. Months of work had gone into achieving those small changes, indicating the tissues might actually be forming a functional neural network, a brain of sorts. So far, so good, Tag thought. The med bay hatch opened, and Tag almost jumped from his hollow screen in surprise. Curtis Morgan, Tag's medical assistant, stood at the entrance. "You've got to check out one of the viewports," Morgan said. "If you'll pardon my brashness, I bet it's a fair bit more interesting than whatever you're looking at." "Can't. Too much work to do," Tag countered. "I expected as much from you." Morgan sauntered over to the hollow screen and leaned on one of the counters. He wore a mock pleading expression. "Dr. Brewer, come join the rest of us. I promise to work double time to make up for whatever you're missing." Tag sighed and held up his hands in a supplicating gesture. "Fine, fine. I need the break anyway." The duo exited the med bay and walked down the corridor to the mess hall. The benches along the tables were filled with crew members sharing drinks and staring at the massive viewport. It showed a glimpse of what lay outside the ship via the hull-mounted cameras. A glittering display of distant stars shone behind an enormous globe burning with fire and gas. A Marine, standing with her arms crossed, nodded a greeting at Tag. "There's ETA," Staff Sergeant Kaufman said, gesturing toward the solar system's sun. "Beautiful, isn't it?" "Gods, yes," Tag said. It had been years since he had seen a star this close. The last time had been Earth's own sun, shortly after starting this mission. ETA might be a good 8 or 9 light minutes away, but he could practically feel the star's warmth on his flesh and found himself wishing he could step off the ship, if for only a brief spacewalk. Another planet inched into existence from the cam's periphery. Icy white, it shimmered in the display as if a fine mist covered it. 3 moons orbited it, like circling gulls. "And there's ETA-5, Tag said, then looked at Kaufman. "I'm jealous. You get to set foot on her. I just sit in the lab and wait patiently for you all to bring me samples." "Jealous? That planet is colder than space. Ice everywhere, storms. It's not exactly going to be a pleasant stroll on the beach." "Now, all the same, You get to step off this rig, Tag said. I promise, I'll bring you some nice souvenirs to make up for it. Now, that'd be appreciated. Maybe some alien blood samples or something. Even better, bring back the whole alien, Tag said. Kaufman laughed. We'll see what we can do. She guided Tag and Morgan past a couple of awestruck engineers. How are the experiments going? She was one of the only crew members aboard the ship that showed interest in Tag's work, and he enjoyed their conversations on both his work and the scientific theories involved. As good as always, he replied. As much as he wanted to talk science with her, the sight of the viewport kept all thoughts of microscopes and cellular biology at bay. Morgan had been right. This was a good deal more interesting than the neural cells, and he couldn't help staring at the beautiful images swirling before them. Here. Saved you both a couple of seats, Kaufman said. She sat on a bench next to a marine with a mohawk and another with arms as thick as Tag's torso. The other half dozen marines at the table passed around an unmarked bottle, pouring and throwing back drinks. The marine with the mohawk looked Tag and Morgan up and down.
What? You bring us a couple of snacks, Kaufman? No room for science geeks here, the other, Williams, said with a defensive scoff. This table's reserved for the big boys.
Make room and show some respect, Kaufman shoved Williams. Tag squeezed in beside her, and Morgan sat across from them. When we get down on that planet, and some alien blows your brain out, these guys will be the ones that put it back in. Williams brushed a hand over his shaved scalp and winked.
Aren't you growing fresh brains in that lab, Dr. Frankenstein?
He sure is, Kaufman said before Tag could answer. Though I'm not sure you'd understand how we do it, Morgan said with a smirk.
All I was looking for was a yes, Williams said. I don't care about all the science mumbo-jumbo. He downed another glass of whatever he was drinking and leaned closer to Tag. If I lose mine, why don't you just grow me a new one? Or better yet, grow me a spare so it's ready to go when I get back.
Kaufman eyed Tag knowingly. Afraid the doc can't do that. It takes months to grow a brain, so that's no dice for you. Don't be too hasty, Tag said. You're half right. Kaufman's expression dropped. It takes months to grow a normal-sized artificial brain, but if all I have to replace is one the size of Williams's, I think I can get it done in a day or two.
That's cold, Doc. Ice cold. Williams grinned, then poured a drink and passed it to Tag. He threw it back. The drink, whatever it was, burned the back of his throat, and he pinched his lips together, refusing to cough in front of the others.
It took him a moment to recover as he watched the viewport. Something new caught his eye. Not a planet. Not a star. A shadow moved into the outboard cam's view. The dark silhouette slid over snow-covered ETA-5 like a lurking barracuda. What is that? Tag said, rising from the table. His pulse quickened. Kaufman's eyes went wide.
Three hells! I thought we were the only ship out here.
We are, Williams said. He paused for a beat. Or, we were.
Tag's heart climbed into his throat. The ghostly ship moved to the edge of the cam's view. For a brief moment, he held his breath. An itching sensation crept into the back of Tag's mind. The ship loomed larger, closer, then disappeared under the cam's view.
This isn't right. How did we miss something like that? Morgan asked.
His question remained unanswered. A huge clanging sound reverberated through the mess, and the Argo shook.
All hands to battle stations, Captain Weber's voice boomed. I repeat, all hands to battle stations.
Kaufman and the other Marines shot from their seats and rushed to the exit. A tide of people flooded between the tables and spilled into the corridors. Startled voices called all around Tag. He looked for Morgan, but the man was already gone. A distant explosion echoed through the Argo. The outboard cams went dark and the viewport crackled, then went blank. The ship jolted as if the engines had kicked in again and it started forward, but the acceleration was short-lived. A deafening bang sounded somewhere on another deck and more yells sounded out. Tag pushed through the other crew members and made his way out of the mess. Metal screeched, echoing in the passageway, accompanied by the unyielding wail of klaxons. Malicious red lights spun over the faces of men and women, their expressions wrought with a mixture of panic and gritty determination. Their voices cried out, creating an incomprehensible cacophony in concert with the thunder of heavy footfalls as they dashed to their battle stations, churning around Tag. He needed to get to the medical bay, but he prayed the crew wouldn't need him there. "They'll be fine," he thought as he spotted a contingency of Marines donning full power armor rushing through the corridor. But a sinking feeling in his gut told him he was wrong. Very wrong. Chapter 2. Tag slammed against the bulkhead, knocked off his feet by a tremor resonating through the ship with a growling roar. Pain coursed through his head where his skull had impacted the shining alloy, and his hand instinctively shot to the site of the injury. He could already feel the knot of bruised tissue that would push up against his skin, but his concern over the contusion gave way to a new threat. A robotic voice droned through the ship's comms. "Unauthorized boarding. Unauthorized boarding." While hell erupted all around him in the SRES Argo, Tag recovered and sprinted for the medical bay on instinct, his mind racing as fast as his feet could carry him. "What the hell's going on now?" Tag yelled out, but he received no answers. There weren't supposed to be any other vessels in this sector of space. No known spacefaring species and no human ships. Yet the warning continued. "Unauthorized boarding." Whatever, or whoever, was in that mysterious ship had taken them unaware and unprepared. The Argo shook more violently than before. Tag fell again and crashed into a nearby engineer wearing a grease-stained coverall. His jaw cracked against the engineer's shoulder and his teeth bit down hard on his tongue. The taste of blood flooded his mouth and his vision blurred. He grabbed a stanchion to brace himself. With fresh pain rattling his skull, he stood on shaky legs, then sprinted down the passage. People thronged past him as he pushed forward, ignoring the flashing lights and screaming alarms. A new noise pierced the din. An unhealthy grinding sound bellowed through the wide hatch at the end of the corridor. Tag winced, holding his hands up to shield his face, then willed his thumping heart to settle. A dangerous curiosity tugged at him, urging him to peer through the hatch. The open hatch led to the expansive cargo bay, and Tag guessed that was where he'd find the purported unauthorized boarders forcing their way onto the ship. As if to confirm his suspicions, a squad of Marines rushed through, clad in gleaming power armor suits and bristling with weapons. The hatch slammed shut behind them. More men and women flowed down the passageway, and Tag was swept up in the current. The crowd started to disperse as the medical bay hatch appeared in the bulkhead to his right. A Marine shouldered past him as he made it to the hatch and opened it.
"Dr. Brewer, I'm back here."
The gruff voice of Morgan cut through the chaos. What in the three hells is he doing in the patient regen chamber? The cylindrical chamber's blue glass doors slid open, revealing a host of tubes and straps to hold patients in. Morgan stepped out before Tag could vocalize his concern.
"Just resetting the biosensors," Morgan offered.
"Good. Let's get them all prepped," Tag said. He and Morgan rushed to the other chambers. The regen chambers were designed for life-threatening injuries, internal bleeding, missing limbs, and other horrible maladies. Tag primed the pumps that would deliver painkillers, nanofiber mesh bandages, and engineered cells designed to supercharge the healing response in a patient's body. They'd only had to use them once when a mechanic on a spacewalk neglected to engage the safety on his hull drill. The man had lost a fist-sized chunk from his calf, but a week of regen chamber treatments had restored the destroyed muscle and tendons. Tag feared the chambers were about to see a great deal more use.
"What is going on out there?" Tag shouted over the grating sounds bouncing in from the passageway.
"I don't have a goddamn clue," Morgan yelled over the alarms. "Must be pirates or something."
"This far out?" Tag replied, nonplussed.
"Hey, I didn't exactly have time to stop someone and ask." Tag primed the last regen chamber and strode to the middle of the bay.
"Set up triage stations," he ordered.
"You got it."
Morgan was already digging through a cabinet full of supplies. With a stack of polymer-infused bandages, tourniquets, and other goods in his arms, he spun and dumped everything on a table bolted onto the deck. Then he nodded to another set of crash couches with built-in IV chambers for patients. "If anyone..." The ship's violent shaking interrupted Morgan. The sudden motion threw him against Tag, and they both tumbled across the deck. Boxes clattered off the table, and rolls of gauze bounced away. Tag winced as he heard the sound of shattering glass behind him. He twisted to find its source. In the adjoining laboratory, beakers and graduated cylinders fell from the busted open drawer of a lab bench and broke against the deck, flinging crystalline shards everywhere. A cell incubator door flopped open, threatening to spill its cargo of live, experimental artificial organs and cells. The chaos exploding around him drained away as a burgeoning sense of dread overtook him. The contents of that incubator represented the culmination of a decade and a half of research. Not that it couldn't be replaced with more hard work, but the synthetic brain resting in there alone had taken him almost 2 years to fabricate, and even longer to design. A nearby explosion annihilated those thoughts, and his mind raced instinctively back to the task at hand. He braced himself against the table as the ship rocked and sent Morgan sprawling across the deck. Tag offered him a hand. The fellow medical officer accepted his grasp and stood, rubbing his head.
"I've got a feeling they're going to need us pretty damn soon," Tag said. He turned to a humanoid silver droid tethered to its charging station. "M3, on duty." The droid buzzed to life. Digital displays, its eyes, shone black and white, and it lurched forward. "With me, M3, Tag commanded. The silent droid followed with a steady mechanical gait. More protesting metal from the passageway accompanied the klaxons. It sounded like a hatch being forced open. Tag peeked into the corridor, and sure enough, someone, or something, fought to pry the hatch open from the other side as Marines rushed to bolster the hatch with a blockade of loose crates. Another dozen Marines formed a half-circle perimeter around the barricaded hatch. Tag felt their palpable anxiety as nervous fingers twitched near the trigger guards of their pulse rifles. The narrow passage prevented the lines of Marines from stretching more than 3 or 4 across. They stood several rows deep. Another low rumble sounded from within the cargo bay, and the hatch door gave way, knocking over the wall of crates like so many tumbling toy blocks. Thick black tendrils of smoke billowed out, clogging the corridor, and the acrid scent of burning plastic stung Tag's nostrils. An audible whirr buzzed on behind the persistent alarms. The air filters had gone into overdrive, sucking at the smoke and desperately cleaning the pollutants out of the ship's atmosphere. But smoke wasn't the only thing pouring in from the cargo bay. Flashes of arcing blue light zipped through the dense black clouds. They looked like pulse rounds, but shone more brightly and proved more devastating than any Tag had ever seen. A torrent of the incoming blue pulse fire burst against the bulkhead around the Marines, leaving burns and fissured alloy. One round slammed into a Marine's chest armor. The polymeric chest plate cracked, and she flew back with splayed limbs. Her head snapped against the bulkhead as the others around her fired into the mushrooming fog. "I got her!" Tag yelled to Morgan. He ducked under the barrage of gunfire, ignoring each devastating round whistling past, and sprinted, dodging between the stanchions along the passage. Before he reached the Marine's limp body, another shrieking azure round pierced the visor of a nearby Marine. The helmet, head still inside, flew off the man's body and bounced along the deck like the most macabre kickball Tag had ever seen. Professional coldness and practiced medicine instincts took over Tag's mind, and he ignored the devastating fatality as he leaped over the now headless body. He dodged under another fusillade, then dove to the first injured Marine. Her fingers trembled in spastic clenching and unclenching motions as he grabbed her wrists. The busted power armor added an extra 50 pounds to her already muscular frame, and he grunted, dragging her to the med bay as more rounds ricocheted through the passage, whining over his head. Unflinching Marines returned a deluge of orange pulse fire to the attackers, who were still sheltered by the smokescreen. Their return fire did nothing to quell their unseen enemy. Another Marine went down in a flurry of blue pulse fire, and Morgan dashed to help the man. Even while the Marine's blood pooled out from a massive hole in the glove over his right hand, he fired into the cargo bay, holding his kicking rifle with his good hand. "M3, help!" Tag shouted, lugging his charge past another motionless casualty. The droid rushed down the passage, past Morgan and the Marine with the injured hand. Its metallic face was devoid of any outward signs of fear as it reached Tag and his patient, and it wrapped its thin, pearly fingers under the injured Marine's legs. Incoming pulse rounds singed an open hatch,
barely missing the duo as they hauled the Marine into the med bay. Tag gave the M3 droid a slight nod, and it let go of their patient. Hot crimson liquid pumped out of her chest plate. He unlatched the suit near her neck, and the hissing, automatic servos finished the job. Armor plates around her arms, torso, and legs split open and slid back, revealing the woman within the armor. The face shield retracted. Sweat coursed over his forehead and his fingers trembled. He recognized the wounded staff sergeant.
"Kaufman," he said, "you there? I'm going to take care of you, okay? You're going to be all right."
Kaufman's eyes remained closed, and the color had already begun its slow march from her face. Charred fabric outlined a wound in her sternum. Lifting it revealed a gory mess. All of Tag's medical training still didn't prevent the pang of squeamishness turning his stomach over at the sight. He grabbed a spray of coagulating agents and doused the wound in chemicals to staunch the profuse bleeding. Nearby, open regen chambers hummed as they awaited their patients. Thank God he and Morgan had prepped all of them. Even so, he wasn't sure if Kaufman would survive the short journey from her armor to an idling chamber. Still, he reached under her armpits, warm liquid oozing over his fingers from her wounds, and with the droid's help, hoisted her from her mechanical shell.
"Stay with me, Kaufman. Please, stay with me."
Her breathing waned in increasingly shallow, staccato gasps. Three hells, he was surprised she was breathing at all. He and the droid slid her body into the regen chamber, and then his hands flew over the hollow screen next to it. With practiced ease, he selected the proper emergency treatment protocols and stood back while the chamber did the rest. He let a long breath escape his lungs and wiped his perspiring forehead with the back of his hand. "She's safe." If the gods had any mercy, the regen chamber might breathe life back into her. More agonized screams echoed from the passage. With his hands still covered in crimson, he hurried back to wade through the carnage once again. He was a meter from the hatch when he saw Morgan. The medical assistant was dragging an unconscious, maimed Marine just outside the bay. Streaks of red marred the medical assistant's clothes, but Tag couldn't tell if the blood belonged to Morgan or the Marine.
"Help me out here!" Morgan cried. But before Tag reached the hatch,
another robotic voice came over the ship's comms, replacing the repeated warning of an unauthorized boarding. This one simply said, "Emergency containment activated." The hatch slammed shut. Chapter 3. Tag Brewer hadn't lost a single crew member during the ship's decade of service, but that had all changed in several fiery seconds. The clamor in the passageway grew ever more tumultuous with shrieks of pulse fire, inhuman screams, and the incessant pounding on the hatch. And Morgan was trapped out there. Tag punched the buttons on the hatch release panel, but the hatch didn't budge.
"Open!"
Tag silently willed, but the hatch did no such thing. Instead, an error message pulsed across the panel. He pulled down a lever on the hatch marked Emergency Override and waited for the door to hiss open.
"Come on, damn it!" he yelled, kicking the door in frustration. "M3, get this door open!"
The droid walked to the hatch and attempted to pry it open. M3's servos whined and its hinges squeaked, but its efforts proved no more fruitful than Tag's. Then the droid stood straight, froze, and toppled sideways. Its eye screens went blank.
"M3, reboot!" Tag cried.
The droid ignored him. It lay like a fallen statue across the medbay deck.
"Damn it!"
His jaw clenched, and heat crept into his cheeks as he yanked unsuccessfully on the hatch. In response to his vain efforts, a hollow pounding echoed through the reinforced steel.
"Morgan!"
The poor man, trapped in the passage, hammered a frantic rhythm. Tag tried to leverage the door open, desperate to let his assistant and his patient in. Screams of pain and defeat echoed through the metal and into the medbay, sending a tumult of frustration pummeling through Tag. The heavy door muffled the dejected voices, but each agonized howl physically pained him. Each voice signified another casualty, another Marine, another crew member he couldn't help. He yanked the emergency release lever again and again until his muscles burned. Nothing. Tapping on a nearby terminal, he called up the ship's AI management system. "Computer, release Medbay Hatch Main," he said, trying to keep the panic out of his voice. No robotic voices uttered an incorporeal affirmative. No hatches unlocked. Nothing happened. "Computer, release Medbay Hatch Main," he commanded again, more urgently. Again, the computer refused to respond. "What the hell?" He punched the door, pain radiating through his knuckles, and he shook his fingers out. "Computer, release Medbay Hatch Main." The terminal flashed a dull red and returned to its stasis mode as if no buttons had been pressed and no commands uttered. He stamped in another code to access the ship's comms. "Medbay to bridge. Medbay to bridge. This is Lieutenant Commander Brewer. Do you read?" He waited with bated breath. No response. "Medbay to bridge. Do you read?" Again, nothing. The pounding on the hatch ceased. "Morgan, you okay?" Tag yelled through the door. It was a stupid question, and he knew it. And he feared he knew the answer, but he didn't know what else to say or do. Instead, he turned back to the terminal and punched in a few commands until the ship's internal cam views fizzled to life on the nearby holoscreen. The first view showed the passage outside the medbay. A yellow haze had replaced the dark smoke. Ominous shapes swam through the vapor like shadowy sea monsters lurking under the water's surface. The pirates? A shiver crept through his spine. He switched to the view of the cargo bay. The same yellow fog blanketed the entire chamber, where more humanoid silhouettes flitted through the smog between stacks of crates. Next, he looked at the bridge. Captain Weber and a few of his officers stood near the chart table. Flecks of crimson spray speckled one officer's uniform, and another limped backward, aiming a pistol at an unseen enemy. Clouds of yellow fog encroached upon Weber as he leveled his pistol, shooting into the smoke and shadows. For a brief moment, Tag thought, that should be me. He should be the one making a last stand on the bridge and going down with the ship. If it weren't for his time at Atlantis Station, it would have been him commanding the SRES Argo. He wondered if things would have gone any differently, if he'd have been able to avoid the pirates attacking them now. But regret and bitterness wouldn't do anything to save his life or anyone else's now. Captain Weber and the bridge officers fired pulse rounds into the shapes wading through the fog. Several rounds splashed against the shadowy figures, but the figures didn't crumple and die. Instead, the pulse fire crackled and sputtered against what looked like energy shields. The attackers simply absorbed the incoming fire and then cut down Weber and the other bridge officers with disciplined ease, then faded back into the fog. Tag took a step back from the holoscreen. He shook his head slowly, hardly able to believe the horrific tableau. It wasn't just the ignoble deaths that shocked him. Energy shields were a standard defense for ships, but as far as he knew, the SRE hadn't figured out how to miniaturize the tech or integrate it with power suits for ground troops or marines. These pirates possessed technology he hadn't even known existed. He flipped to the galley view and was met with the same ethereal image of masked shadows pushing through the yellow miasma. He returned to the view outside the medbay, but the image flickered. "Focus, focus," he said, tapping the buttons. The image stabilized, then went dark. The entire ship shuddered for a second and he flew forward, carried by momentum as the ship bucked and abruptly decelerated. The whine of the impellers resonated through the bulkhead as something threw the Argo into reverse thrust and the inertial dampeners fought to keep up with the sudden change. One of the regen chambers creaked, straining against the bolts holding it against the bulkhead. Then the ship's reactors went quiet. All the wall holoscreens crackled off, and the lights sputtered before going black. An eerie silence, punctuated only by distant creaking, took over. No more gunfire. No more churning engines. No more alarms. No more flashing lights. No more screams. Complete darkness enfolded Tag, as if his senses had all simultaneously failed. Cold snaked through his flesh. He wondered if this was what being flung into space felt like. The sudden chill, the nothingness of vacuum. But then he sucked in a breath of clean, pressurized atmosphere, which provided mild reassurance that he still lived. For now. Ghostly red emergency lights emanated from the floor panels and along the steel bulwarks ribbing the bulkhead. One red light flashed softly, catching Tag's attention. This one blinked from one of the regen chambers. Kaufman's regen chamber. A single message glinted across the red panel. Non-functional.
No, no, no! Tag yelled.
The biomonitors reported the patient within had no pulse, and the automated healing of the Marine's torn blood vessels and shredded organs had completely stopped. Tag ran to the malfunctioning chamber. Morgan's assistance, anyone's assistance, would be immensely helpful right now. He had no idea what had happened to the rest of the crew or if any were even left. A persistent thought gnawed at the back of his mind as he reached Kaufman's regen chamber. Some pirate might reactivate the computer systems and access the medbay hatch at any time. And if that happened, he would be as good as dead, just like everyone else. But he was alive now, and he'd be damned if he would let Kaufman die. If he could just save one life, any life, her life, he'd do it. He might not be captain, but he hadn't joined the Solar Republic of Earth's Navy to let others die on his watch. And if Kaufman perished? Gods, he had never felt like such a failure. A quick punch on the emergency release sent the door of the glass chamber sliding back. He thanked the gods that whatever had affected the main comp systems hadn't locked the regen chamber, or maybe the ship's power outage had done the trick. Either way, how it happened wasn't his concern at the moment. Kaufman was. With a hiss, the second inner acrylic shield retracted. Tag released the harnesses on Kaufman's arms and legs, and her body slumped forward. Catching her, he lowered her gently to the deck. It seemed as if she weighed less than before. Maybe it was just the adrenaline pumping through his vessels, but all the strength he had once seen in her seemed like a distant memory now. She seemed fragile and weak. He swallowed hard as he cataloged her injuries and triaged them. A torn artery, a network of internal bleeding, a shredded stomach, broken ribs, and undoubtedly a greatly increased risk of infection thanks to the gaping wound. The chamber had barely started its automated diagnostics and healing procedures. He tried to push aside emotion so he could focus on helping her rather than mourning her. His medical officer training took over once again, and he set to work on her body like an engineer repairing the Argo's fusion reactor power plant, emotionless and professional. The air in the medbay grew humid and suffocating as he toiled. He figured the induced power outage had caused the change in atmosphere and prayed that their attackers hadn't shut down the ship's life support completely, or else all his efforts to save Kaufman would be in vain. Ignoring their potentially impending doom, he ran to a meter-tall silver door by one of the dormant coolers and took out a syringe filled with cell-based therapy. He returned to Kaufman, injected the therapy into a vessel in her arm, and gave her manual chest compressions to keep her blood flowing. The lack of help from the life-saving regen chambers standing uselessly next to him forced him to resort to surgical methods only slightly better than battlefield medic tactics. He glanced at the supplies Morgan had gathered earlier while he pumped. A circular, black, battery-powered cardiac support device jumped out at him, and he rushed to retrieve it, leaving Kaufman's side for only a moment. He placed the small device over her chest. Its electric pulse maintained a slow, steady rhythm. Yet even as her heart beat, her breathing grew shallower. Judging by her strained breathing, Tag guessed she'd suffered a punctured lung. From an emergency supply crate, he snagged an oxygen supply mask and situated it over Kaufman's face. Then he grabbed a synth blood bag and a saline IV. He inserted the needles running from each into her veins. As he struggled to keep the bags up and cauterize another bleeding wound, he eyed the body of the crumpled M3 droid. He wished the damn thing was up and working, if only to hold the IV bags. But he'd have to do this on his own. He hung the bags on a neighboring exam table, then snatched a tube and large bore needle, preparing to drain the excess air from her punctured lung. A loud grinding reverberated through the bulkhead and made him jump. The ship groaned, and the strong pull of acceleration grasped at him again. It felt like the ship pushed almost 2G before the inertial dampeners kicked in. Overhead lights flickered back on along the wall hollow screens. But Tag had no time to rejoice in the restored power. He plunged a large bore needle through Kaufman's chest and into her lung. Red liquid flowed out, and after several agonizingly long seconds, her breathing stabilized. She would live. For now. Tag couldn't guess how long either of them would survive if the pirates investigated the med bay. Help must be out there. Someone else must still be alive on the ship with some idea of what's going on. He dashed to the hatch. The red error message still shone on its panel. A quick survey of the room revealed the regen chambers flashed the same warning lights as before, and the M3 droid remained a limp pile of metal limbs and inactive servos. What in the gods' names had these pirates done to the ship? Tag turned on the intra-ship cams again to see if the passages were any safer than before. With a couple of button taps, the hollow screen near the hatch panel revealed views of the passageway again. The yellow haze still hung thick in the air, obscuring the huddled shapes beside the ribbed bulkhead that Tag guessed were bodies. He prepared to check the bridge view when a low hissing sounded near the regen chambers. Spinning on his heels, Tag saw tendrils of yellow smoke reach through the grates along the bulkhead like the ghostly tentacles of some unseen beast. With the ship's fusion reactor supplying power to all decks again, the life support fans had re-engaged, spreading purified air throughout the passages and chambers. But whatever that yellow smoke was made of hadn't been filtered out yet. Tag didn't know what it was, but he knew it wasn't good. It curled out of the grates and twisted to the deck, drifting toward the regen chambers, toward Kaufman. Chapter 4. There was nowhere to go. Tag and Kaufman were stuck in the medical bay, doomed to suffocate and die in the throes of that ominous yellow fog, just like the rest of the crew. He didn't even bother trying the manual release on the hatch again. What was the point? All he would accomplish was letting in more of that toxic-looking gas. He ran to Kaufman and then dragged her body away from the menacing smog. He wouldn't give up on his life or hers. Yet. Not while they still had inches to fight for and seconds to conjure a plan. He looked down at her closed eyes and the long blonde hair soaked in blood. Sweat trickled across her forehead, washing away some flecks of dried blood, and her breath steamed up the inside of the oxygen mask. Tag's heart thumped wildly. Maybe, just maybe, he could buy them some more time. He grabbed one of the emergency masks for himself and placed it over his face. Finally free of the acrid smell of burning plastic saturating the atmosphere, he sucked in a fresh breath of compressed oxygen. The yellow fog rolled in closer. He might have clean air, but he still didn't know if the chemicals within the fog could be absorbed through the skin. A nerve agent or engineered volatile gas might soak straight through his flesh and into his bloodstream, even with the mask over his nose and mouth. He continued pulling Kaufman as the shut-down M3 droid disappeared under a carpet of yellow fog. It sucked up the regen chambers next, then the patient crash couches. Soon the fog would fill the med bay. Tag scanned the bay, desperately looking for another escape, another way to keep them alive just a bit longer. Finally, an idea struck him. He pulled Kaufman to the airlock of the laboratory attached to the bay, then twisted the manual lock on the sterilization chamber's hatch and squeezed Kaufman in. Holding it open with his foot, he reached and grabbed one of the medic kits Morgan had set out on the nearest table. His fingers wrapped around it right as the table succumbed to the yellow haze. A wisp of it rolled over his hand and a sharp, biting sensation traveled up his flesh. He winced and bit his bottom lip to refrain from yelping in pain. Still grasping the medic kit, he drew his hand back. "Come on, Kaufman," he said. "Stay with me. We're almost safe." He slammed shut the hatch to the sterilization chamber. It was only meant for one person, and he had to awkwardly stand over her as he activated the sterilizing washes. When the nozzles started spraying, he half expected yellow gas to pour over them. Instead, he was rewarded with clean, white sterilizing gases. The hissing sterilization process soon stopped, and the inner chamber door opened, releasing them into the interior of the cramped laboratory space. Normally, Tag wore a biosafety suit working in here. It felt unnatural, almost wrong, to be in here like this. But no matter. At least they were safe. He wasn't worried about contracting a dangerous pathogen from his research. Rather, he was afraid of passing a pathogen on to the subjects of his work. He snapped the door shut on an incubator that had fallen open during the attack. Within the roughly 2-meter-high hotbox lay a plethora of medical-grade synthetic tissues. Organs and tissues modeled after the human body grew within that chamber. Each contained a mixture of cells grown in the lab experimentally combined with microcomputer components. Once again, Tag was reminded of the decades of work he'd put into that pet project, doubting it would ever stand a chance of seeing fruition now. Since the artificial organs had no working immune system, he was now risking all kinds of contamination by exposing them to the air he exhaled through his mask. But saving artificial organs didn't matter now. Saving real ones did, especially real ones belonging to Kaufman. He set to work on her wounds again, cauterizing bleeding vessels and constantly monitoring her breathing, heart rhythm, and blood pressure. Yellow haze continued to flow into the main section of the med bay. It rolled against the acrylic partition separating the bay and the lab like a slow-moving tidal wave. The lab not only provided a physical barrier from the fog, but it also used a separate oxygen supply and atmospheric life support independent from the rest of the ship to maintain the sensitive experiments within it. It was Tag's only respite from the acidic fog until he figured out how in the three hells he was going to get out of here. He finished patching Kaufman's wounds. There was nothing else he could do. It was up to the cardiac support system and her own body to continue living. A deep exhalation escaped him, and he stood, wondering what he should do next. There had to be someone else alive aboard the ship. Maybe someone still fighting the pirates. On one bulkhead, between snaking tubes and ports, there was a small terminal. He approached the terminal, all the while keeping an eye on Kaufman. Holding his breath in anticipation, he tapped on the terminal. It buzzed on, and its hollow screen lit up normally in a sea of greens and blues. A tingle of relief filtered through him. His finger hovered over the intra-ship comm system. He thought to call the bridge again, but realized that might be a mistake. After everything he'd seen, the crew had probably lost control of the bridge. For all he knew, there might not be any crew left. Alerting his captors to his and Kaufman's presence wouldn't save anyone. Instead, he revisited the onboard camera display system. He was greeted with the familiar images of the passage and the bridge. The yellow haze had lessened. There was only a slightly opaque screen of fog instead of the dense rolling barrier it had been before. The air scrubbers must have been back online and were catching up with the poisonous clouds. As the scrubbers worked, they revealed the remnants of the battle. Tag panned over the views of the casualties. A deep pit in his stomach threatened to swallow him whole, growing ever wider as he viewed each macabre scene. There were the broken and shattered power armor suits lying still across the passages, singed and lifeless bodies of crew members, some in emergency EVA suits and others in their standard shipman's uniforms were sprawled throughout. On the bridge, Tag viewed the carnage of Captain Weber's last stand. Yet as Tag tallied the lives he hadn't saved, the lives he couldn't save. He paused. Where were the bodies? Any bodies? belonging to their unidentified foe. Fear crept through his vessels like a late winter storm blasting any hopes of spring. Had these pirates already removed their injured and dead? Or had they so overpowered the SRE Marines and crew that there simply were no casualties on their side? The thought of these space pirates with more advanced equipment than an SRE military science ship was almost unfathomable. He switched to the cargo bay view. The docking hatch, which had originally been forced open, was now closed. He could see severe scorching across the bulkhead and scattered bits of metal from destroyed cargo cases. Tag hadn't spent much time in the hold, but even he could tell there were several cases missing. The hold was mostly empty, just like the rest of the ship. A small glimmer of hope flickered in Tag like a dying candle flame. Maybe the pirates had found what they'd come for and left. If they were gone, maybe he could make it safely around the ship and check for other survivors. There might be others he could help as soon as the yellow gas was fully scrubbed and filtered. He moved to the final cam view, looking down the passage from the med bay's hatch. With a flick of his wrist, he adjusted the cam until he saw the area directly in front of the med bay. He couldn't help himself from gasping. There was Morgan, his hand still reaching for the hatch as he lay sprawled over the deck. His other hand was locked in the collar of a downed Marine. Morgan's chest didn't expand or deflate, and his skin was sickly pale. His eyes were frozen open. He was gone. Tag looked away, steeling himself. That emerging bit of optimism wavered in him before crashing against the hard, rocky face of reality. "Kaufman," he said, "I think we might be the only ones left on this damn ship." She didn't respond. Her cardiac support unit droned on quietly. Several seconds of silence passed as Tag mulled his next move. Then, as if in delayed response to his earlier statement, Kaufman's cardiac support system emitted a wailing beep. She had stopped breathing. Chapter 5. Tag huddled over Kaufman's body. He readjusted her oxygen mask to ensure it was still working properly. When air hissed out of it, he put it back in place. He snaked a long tube down her airway, hoping to keep it open and force the oxygen into her lungs, but her lungs weren't rising and falling anymore. The cardiac support system continued sending little jolts of electricity to her heart, urging it to pump. But Tag had been a medical officer long enough to recognize the subtle signs of approaching death. And these signs weren't so subtle. He grabbed a handheld magnetic sensor array. It worked like a miniature MRI, and he'd often used it to gauge the neural activity of the synthetic brain he'd developed and stored in the lab's incubator. Now he measured Kaufman's neural activity with it. The handheld MRI sent an image to a nearby holoscreen. The dark, simulated projection that displayed across the screen sent a wave of despair over Tag. She was losing brain function. What should have been a vibrant image of colors flashing over the projected brain to show neural activity now appeared as dull shades of black and blue. There was almost no sign of energy, no sign of life beneath her skull. The cardiac support system would help pump blood through her vessels until its battery eventually died, but there would be no point if her brain didn't survive this ordeal. Tag vowed not to let her die on his watch. No way in three hells would he let her die. If she did, he would be the owner of the last beating heart aboard the SRES Argo, and he couldn't continue on this ship alone. Logic told him he was already alone, that she was destined for death, but a reluctant voice deep in his mind cried for him to hold on to hope. She might still make it. She had to make it. And he might not be alone in this battle to save a life. Surely Captain Weber had sent an SOS to the SRES Montenegro, the capital ship from which they had originated. The huge ship, with its top-of-the-line medical facilities and ship repair bays, would be full of thousands upon thousands of crew members ready to help. No lone pirate ship could take out the Montenegro, even if they had overpowered the Argo. The Argo was only an Odyssey-class corvette, meaning for scientific expeditions, dwarfed when compared to the gargantuan capital ship. But the Montenegro was over 10 light-years away. Tag's heart sank. An automated light beam relay message would take 10 years for the Montenegro to receive. Definitely not good enough. Hopefully the captain had launched a courier drone before his defeat. The drones, with their miniature T-drives, could take advantage of hyperspace travel. That would be Tag's only chance. A single courier drone, flying through hyperspace, rocketing toward the Montenegro. If the drone flew out without a hitch and the pirates hadn't shot it to bits of alloy, then it might take 4 days or so to reach the Montenegro. And once the capital ship mustered and sent a rescue squad, it would be another 4 days before the rescue party reached the Argo. For now, he would have to sit in this floating metal tomb, alone in space. Kaufman's cardiac support system continued to beep. Maybe. Maybe. Even if the sensors had said she'd experienced neurological damage, she wasn't as doomed as he'd initially thought. The Montenegro might yet be able to restore neural function. Yes, they had to be able to do just that. Their synthetic tissue and organ replacement systems were far superior to the meager regen chambers aboard the Argo. Tag decided to leave her fully intubated, alive through the force of mechanical devices alone. But if she stood any chance of rescue, he needed to ensure Captain Weber's SOS had been sent. His fingers tapped on the terminal. A few swipes and slides brought up the comm log, and he filtered out the intra-ship comms as he scanned to the most recent inter-ship channel comms. Scrolling down the list, he looked for logs time-stamped near the time when they'd been boarded. He reached the bottom of the list and found normal status update reports. Past those were a few logged attempts of an automated SOS at 1500 ship standard time. But the log reported the messages couldn't be sent. Tag recalled his own frustration at trying to call the bridge. He'd had no luck. Had both their intra-ship and inter-ship comm channels been compromised by the pirates? Again, such technological skill surprised him. He recalled the massive quakes that had shaken the ship during the initial attack. Maybe the comm system arrays had been damaged by the physical impact of the boarding ship. That made more sense. The pirate's ship seemed to have come out of nowhere, and such a feat meant it had likely been an expensive stealth ship. He'd thought such ships were relegated only to elite covert military units, so the idea that a ship like that had found its way into pirates' hands alarmed him. He definitely needed to ensure the Montenegro was aware of this situation. Tag checked the status of the courier drones next. The drones' logs were kept in a separate AI operations folder. Tag selected the drones folder and saw a command had indeed been issued with an SOS reporting the Argo's status and the boarding. The command had been executed at the moment of attack. His fist pumped in victory. "They sent for help, Kaufman." He wanted to hug her in joy, but her diminishing state shattered his elation at once. The sight of her body struggling to maintain any semblance of life was an all too somber reminder of what the entire Argo was like, a vessel barely clinging to life. He pressed his hand against the lab's clear acrylic partition. The air was looking remarkably clearer. Soon, he hoped, it would be fresh and clean again, wiped of whatever toxins had floated through it. It would be back to the slightly plastic smell of the scrubbed and filtered atmosphere. But even at the sight of this progress, something else bothered him, tickling the corners of his mind. When the ship had restarted, there had been an undeniable change in direction. The acceleration had thrown him off balance, and judging by the state of the bridge, it hadn't been Captain Weber executing any kind of course correct. It must have been the pirates. They'd altered the ship's trajectory, but to where? And why? His heart beat in his chest like rapid pulse fire. If they sent the ship careening into space, there was the distinct possibility that the Montenegro's rescue mission might not find them. He couldn't risk adding days or weeks to their rescue. While he might survive, Kaufman wouldn't stand a chance. Any semblance of neurological recovery relied on getting her to the Montenegro within a few days, if she even had that long. He scrolled through the ship's navigation reports. The last log simply showed their original trajectory. It was a path that took them on the historic path of the lost generation ship, the UNS Hope. The ship had sailed out almost 300 years ago, before the Solar Republic of Earth existed. They'd never received any colonization reports from the massive ship, and the SRE had decided the Argo would relive the UNS Hope's journey while completing the years-long mission started by other research vessels in the galaxy. But thanks to the ferocity of the acceleration change, he doubted the ship was actually headed along its original course. Computer, calculate current trajectory. The terminal was silent. Computer, calculate current trajectory. Again, he was met with no response. Another computer system mysteriously down. His apprehension levels began to creep up again. He scrolled across the terminal and manually selected a map. A glimmering blue hollow projection of a solar system appeared before him with a central star burning bright in the center of this celestial oasis. ETA. It was two-thirds through its core's hydrogen fusion lifespan. The star was older than Earth's sun, but was still capable of supporting life for billions of years on several of its orbiting planets. This was the reason the UNS Hope had been sent to ETA centuries ago, and why the SRE had followed up with another ship, the SRES Hano. In fact, one of Argo's missions was to pick up an extraterrestrial anthropologist on one of ETA's planets, ETA-5, who'd been left there 5 years ago by the Hano. The anthropologist, Lieutenant Sofia Vasquez, had been studying the planet's native biological life forms and whatever sentient species might be found there. In typical anthropologist form, she'd insisted on doing the mission solo to better immerse herself in the local population. Contact with her had been sparse because ETA-5's atmosphere apparently blocked all normal light beam and radio comms, along with LIDAR and radar from probing the planet's surface. She'd only been able to contact the fleet via a few courier drones to provide updates and confirm the 5-year anniversary rendezvous with the Argo. A blip on the holoscreen showed the anthropologist's last known location in the ETA system on ETA-5. Another little blip appeared on the holoscreen. It was labeled SRES Argo. The computer couldn't respond to Tag's commands, but the holoscreen at least provided the current speed and direction of the Argo. A small dashed line projected straight from the bow of the ship, showing where it was headed. Tag felt the tight grip of nausea around his stomach. The dashed line cut straight through the fiery core of ETA. Chapter 6. Anger burned through Tag like a T-drive revving into hyperspace, and sweat coated his palms as he tightened his hands into fists. The pirates had done this. It seemed exceptionally cruel to send the Argo straight into the hellish bowels of the raging star. But as Kaufman's cardiac support system continued its rhythmic beeping, he realized the action was hardly contrary to the barbaric way they'd treated the ship and its crew so far. He calmed himself, fighting through the initial panic. His first thought was to determine how much time he and Kaufman had left. Without the ship's AI's help, he would have to make a rough estimate on his own. It wasn't too difficult to estimate their distance from ETA. Given their steady acceleration and current speed, he calculated they'd reach ETA within the day. Of course, it would be less than that before they'd be fried by the star's radiation and intense heat. There was no time to delay. "Can't wait in here all day, can I?" Tag asked Kaufman. He looked at her still form and wished he had found just one more crew member alive to help with this predicament. He wished she was alive and able to help. But wishes couldn't save lives. Only fast thinking and real action could do that. The remnants of yellow fog still swirled in the med bay, far thinner than before, but still, to Tag, no less dangerous. A quick review on the terminal showed the haze had disappeared somewhat from the outer passages, too. There was no telling how long it would be before it was completely scrubbed. Tag had a feeling he couldn't afford to wait and find out. "Kaufman,
If I don't get us out of here alive, I apologize. He pressed a hand to the acrylic partition separating the lab and the medbay. But I'm going to do the best I damn well can. I promise you that much. He snatched an emergency oxygen mask and placed it over his mouth. Smashing down the airlock button, he stepped into the decontamination chamber, let the gases hiss over his body, and took another deep breath as the airlock released him into the medbay. Waves of the dissipating fog seemed to surround him and reach out like a living creature as he pushed through the light haze. Every bit of exposed skin stung. His flesh turned red. The pain wasn't as bad as the first time he'd touched the fog when it was at its full strength, but it was steadily intensifying. Sweat trickled across his forehead, and his senses slowly distorted. He gasped another breath of oxygen through the mask, but he could feel his throat starting to constrict. Maybe the poisonous fog was leaching through him, tunneling into his bloodstream. His mind became muddled by the invisible fire crawling over his skin and through his nerves. There would be no way he could make it to the bridge and reroute the Argo under this kind of duress. He stumbled and fell,